Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time, buckle up. It's a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building good tomorrows and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, welcome back, Raise Nation. It's so great to connect with you again. Oh, we just love this channel. We love the fact that you love this channel. Thank you so much for making it so popular. We are streaming on 10 podcast channels now. Yay! We're on YouTube. We're on demand at onecause.com. We're live at the Raise Conference and every other industry conference. So it's just a great way to connect. And I hope you're tuning in getting some value out of this. And of course, if you want to join us, please reach out. We'd love to feature great missions like we're doing today. It is that time of year when we're all thinking about back to school. Of course, I'm just thinking about the beautiful heat out there, but I should be thinking about back to school and back to school fundraising and, just getting back into the groove. And what's interesting about back to school, it's the same time as the end of year giving and Giving Tuesday and the holidays. So if you're a school, there's kind of a lot to think about. How do you get everybody fired up again and moving and grooving? And well, we have somebody here that's going to help us think that through and has been doing some great work there. We have Patrick Motter. He is the Director of Strategic Advancement at Mullen High School. And I've got all the questions for him. So welcome to the show, Patrick. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys having me and I'm excited for what Raise Nation has been doing and what we can talk about today.
Yeah, me too. I think that schools are a little bit different because you really have an engaged audience from September maybe to May or June. And then that audience is constantly, you know, rotating as people graduate, move on, move up type thing. So it's, you know, re-engaging year after year. And then you have your alumni group. And then your back to school is on the cusp of the busiest giving season of the year. So, you know, I never really thought about it until I started prepping to talk to you today. But I'm interested to know how you manage all of that and gear up your fundraising. But before we get there, we want to get to know you and your journey. How did you get to Mullen High School? How'd you get to where you are right now? And anything else you want to share about yourself personally? Our audience wants to know you.
Of course, yes. So my background, I came to Mullen via higher education. So I was a marketing and communications major at a small Catholic school down in Mobile, Alabama. Once I graduated there, I had high aspirations of going in and working in advertising at a magazine in New York, and doing kind of a whole different field of what I'm doing currently. As many people know, and sometimes you maybe have experienced it, but early on in your career, when it comes to advertising, it's a lot of cold calling. It's a lot of tied to a desk. It's a lot of kind of that structure. That did not work for me. I was very active.
Wouldn't work for me either. I don't blame you.
I was not someone who was needed to be tied down to a desk from 8 to 5. So early on in my career, after I had started in advertising, I started rethinking about what I wanted to do and what my passion was. And I found, you know, I really enjoy student affairs and education and the impact that you could make in that way. And so I actually started working for a Catholic school in North Carolina, and I spent about 15 years in Charlotte working in student affairs. So I did everything from fraternity and sorority life, intramurals, fitness, wellness, but I was always a little connected to the fundraising and the relationship building. Like that was what really drew me in and how I can make an impact to those students. So even during like meeting parents and doing orientation, like that's where I thrive. So in 2019, I made the decision that I wanted a lifestyle change. I wanted to leave North Carolina and move out to Denver. And I made that decision and kind of made it happen with kind of made a leap of faith, if you say, didn't have a position when I arrived in Denver, didn't have a
job. Oh my gosh.
I really went for it. So I was really the outdoors, just the community that I found in Denver through some visiting, just really connected with me. And so I made that leap of faith, made a jump out here without a position. I did a little hiatus in corporate recruiting and found out that that was very similar to the marketing and advertising that I had said. It was very
Tethered to desks in your world, right? That's not going to happen.
Desk and that, again, still didn't work for me. I mean, I have friends that do that and so proud of them for that, but that just didn't work out for me.
We all have our strengths.
I found a position here at Mullen. I looked at some higher ed roles around here and it just wasn't working. Denver had a lot more of a populace than North Carolina, so it was really hard to get those positions, but I found Mullen. It was a school that I was really connected to with their core values. So again, I had worked at other Catholic higher education institutions. I had been to a school that was a Catholic school and had very similar values. And so I kind of knew what that felt like. Mullen stood out to me as a school that had some high potential. It had gone through, they just had a new president. They were doing some organizational changes and some growth there. So I got into fundraising. At Mullen, I started in a position that was more of like an admin assistant type role, and I've moved myself up to director over the last 4 years. But what it was that drew me here was, again, it was that the education, the difference that you made. And one of the biggest things for me is just knowing and seeing the impact that your work is doing. And when you're helping raise money or working at a school and you see the impact that these students have. We had a family that came to us at an event we recently had, and my colleague was talking to him just kind of about what she does and how we raise money. And he broke down in tears, and his family had been going through some hard times. And it was the money that we're able to raise and give back in tuition assistance was why he was able to come. And that's why I do what I do. And that's what drew me back to education. And
I love that story. Wow. What a journey. We like to call, our fundraising community here at One Cause Fearless Fundraisers. And I think you define that. You can be the poster child.
There you go.
I mean, and we're so glad that you did, because it's nice to see the impact that you're bringing to Mullen. But tell us a little bit about Mullen High School. You talked about their core values and how they just, you know, stood out a little bit, committed to tuition assistance for those who needed. But tell us a little bit more about Mullen. What makes it special community?
First. So just a little history on Mullen. So Mullen is named after J.K. Mullen, who is a philanthropist from the early 1800s. And he passed away in 1929. He had this property that we are still sitting on. So we were founded in 1931. So he had this property here in Denver, Colorado, and he decided he wanted to do a school. Him and his wife were passionate. They wanted to create a school. They weren't able to do it in his time, but then his kids carried on his legacy. And 2 years after he passed, we were able to open Mullen. It connected with the Christian Brothers, which is a Catholic organization that comes from the teachings of St. John Baptist de la Salle, who was basically the patron saint of educators and teachers, and very famously started a bunch of schools in France and throughout the world. And the brothers kind of follow his teachings, and J.K. Mullen had reached out to them. There's a school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where the brothers were at the time, and they came up. The school started as an orphanage, but there was also a dairy farm on property. So the orphans, as they grew up, would work the dairy farm, and we were able to kind of start from there. And then in the early 1950s, Mullen transitioned to become a high school. It was a boarding school for boys only. But many of the orphans transitioned into the high school. It was kind of as the orphans grew up, the school grew with them to meet a need that Denver had. Through those years, it's been such a strong school. It's gone through a couple different iterations. In the 1980s, we went co-ed. Late 1980s, I believe it was in 1989, we went co-ed. So we allowed female students. And since then, we have just been growing substantially. So we are one of the longest running private Catholic schools in Denver, in actual Denver, like city, county. We're the only school that remains on the land that they were founded on. Many of the others have moved to other options for cheaper reasons, or, you know, the property was at a premium, and they were able to sell it and make money and then kind of reinvest it into the school. But Mullen has stayed where we are. We have, you know, over 27 different sports teams. Our enrollment is currently right at 750 students, about 50-50 female male. And we have about 60% Catholic, self-identifying students that are Catholic, and about 40% that are of another either denomination of Christianity or different faith-based. So we are open to all students. I think that that's what makes us so diverse. Also, one of the big things I mentioned earlier, kind of our values. So we have five core principles in the LaSallian community. One of those is concern for the poor, both those that are poor financially, but also in spirituality. And quality education is another one of our principles. And so what we always say is we're striving to provide quality education for all people. So whether they can afford it, whether they are 100 miles away, 10-minute walk away, like we want to make sure that that's affordable. So in my department, in the development team, we help do that. So we provide tuition assistance. The school as a whole provides about $2.3 million in tuition assistance every year to about 30% of our population to allow students to attend Mullen and get that Catholic education and quality education they may not get otherwise. And about 50% of that 2.3 comes through fundraising that we do. The rest comes from our operating.
How many students?
750.
Oh, okay. And what grades?
So we're only a high school. So we do 9 through 10.
9 through 10. Okay, got it. So, wow, a special story. I love that you just welcome all students and you want to make education affordable for anyone. So yeah, it's a beautiful story. And it's nice to see, you know, that evolution and getting to that place. So you're subsidizing the tuition, right? So if somebody needs it, you kind of want the funds to be able to provide it. You don't want to turn anybody away.
Right.
Right. So that's your job. How are you accomplishing that? And is this the time of year that you're really thinking about it? And I just hit you with like two questions, but I'm going to add a third one. I'm going to layer a third one on. What are the challenges for school when your, you know, students are graduating? I mean, it sounds like you built a beautiful community there. I definitely got that in the story and the journey. And so I would suspect you have a pretty strong alumni base, but still, you do have people graduating and new regime, you know, new cohort coming in, and you have to re-engage them and educate them and get them to, you know, participate. Is this the time that you're thinking about that? And how do you kind of go about that?
No, definitely. In terms of thinking about it, you're right. So we, particularly because we're a high school, so our students are typically only here for 4 years. So we do have some colleagues and other schools in the area that are maybe K-8 or K-12 or even pre-K-12. And I mean, you had those students for 13, 14 years. Those families are constantly engaged. Once you get them kind of at that kindergarten, you're able to cultivate and continue to work with them all the way through to 8th grade or 12th grade. For us, it's, we get them in the 9th grade. And we have 4 years to build those relationships. So it's a lot shorter than some of our kind of competitors or other schools in the area, but it's also something that we have to kind of hit the ground running. So I mentioned earlier, we were hosting an event and we had, you know, a gentleman who was crying because of, you know, what tuition assistance had done for him. That event was, we haven't even started our school year and we're holding new family events to try and meet our incoming families. We're trying to connect them with our president, our chief development officer, our gift officers, everybody in our department is there, building those relationships and just kind of letting them know, like, we're here to support you, whatever you need, as well as we've got lots of opportunities for you to kind of meet with us. So we do events throughout the year. We start early on. I think one thing that you mentioned a few minutes ago is like, it is that end of year giving. But what you have to think about when it comes to a school is, for us, our fiscal year ends July 31st. So it's our end of fiscal year, but it doesn't.
Oh, matter. July 31st, not June 30th. I would have thought.
So some schools are June 30th, but we're at July 1st. So we're of our like end of fiscal year giving campaign right now. So we're sending out a lot of emails. We're building those. We're having those coffees, those meetings. We're trying to connect with everybody about what that looks like. We're having a couple events. The end of tomorrow, we have a tennis tournament where we connect with a lot of people. So it is kind of really busy during this like August or getting into August. And then we're also looking at who are our new hires in the school? How do we continue to build the relationships across departments? And then we're getting our students in. So July and August are really, really busy times. And then, yes, you still have the Giving Tuesdays in November. You've got our homecoming event where we do invite alumni back. That happens in September, October. You have the tax year, the end of year giving that you want to make sure that, you know, anybody that's giving a gift to your institution is getting that benefit. So we technically have two end of year giving campaigns that we put on each year. So there's a lot going on, a lot of happening, but I think it really works well for us. You mentioned alumni. So Mullen has about 13,000 alumni.
Wow.
8,000 of those live in the Colorado area. So we...
Oh, 8,000 out of the 13 lives stay in that Colorado area. Is that significant?
Yeah, that's huge for us. It's a great opportunity because when we host events, we do get good turnout. We had somebody from a class of 99 that was in yesterday just chatting with us because he drove by and wanted to see. I'm sitting right now in a new building that we're working on a capital campaign to finish, and then some other new renovations that are happening here on campus so that the alumni just stop by. And so you get that, which is really great because we're right there in that Denver and they can just stop by. They still see it as like a place that they can connect to because it's right there in their back door.
So how do you branch out into the community and get that community support as well? Because I'm going to hit you with the hard questions. My daughter went to a private Catholic school here in New Jersey. Great. And we paid tuition. So yes, it was not easy. We didn't have assistance, but still it wasn't an easy bill to pay every year. So it was hard for me to fundraise on top of the tuition. And for those that had tuition they were subsidized. Well, they're in a socioeconomic position that they can't fundraise maybe either. So how do you cultivate that responsibility with your student and parent body and the community to make this fundraising happen? Because you've been really successful, but it's not easy. I mean, that's not easy to say, oh, here's your tuition bill. Here's your receipt. Oh, by the way, right? Like, is that something you have to think about?
It definitely is. And I think one of the big things that we have to do and we try to do is, if we want to build the relationships with everybody. So no matter your capacity, no matter your socioeconomic status, we're going to invite you to events. So if we're hosting an event that is a social or a gathering with our president or with our department or our teachers, we try and do everything we can to make those covered. So we try and get those underwritten. We try and get sponsors for those types of things just to make sure that we're not charging like $5, $10 to attend these events, because we do want everyone to feel that community side. We do host a gala. We do host a golf tournament and a tennis tournament. And those are charged ticketed events to raise money, but we try and still make it very affordable for everyone. If there's a thing, and there's opportunities there where if we know that somebody wants to attend, maybe they're not going to be a high donor, but there's somebody who we want to make sure feels connected to the community. We evaluate that. But when we're going out and trying to build those relationships and go out for maybe a solicitation, we do have to look at that. We have to talk with our business office and say, hey, you know, who is receiving assistance? We don't want to go ask somebody for a gift if they're kind of scraping by just to be able to be here, because the most important thing for us is that their student is able to attend. I'd rather the student attend and us not get money from a family than to go after a family that maybe it does. We have a number of families that pay full tuition, which helps cover and offset some things. We're very intentional about where we set our tuition as well. So Mullen is one of the more affordable area schools, and that's intentional. We don't want to raise the price because we don't want to make it overpriced so that there are people, because it's hard. I mean, those that receive tuition assistance can sometimes look at a price tag and say, there's no way I can do that, even if we're offering to make it, you know, affordable whenever we can. But we have a lot of strong donors in the pipeline, both in the community, in the alumni community, and in our current families that provide some resources for us. Every year we do a appeal throughout the year that we say is to cover the gap. So we are a tuition-based institution, but we don't charge the students for the full cost of their education. There's about a $1,500 difference from what it costs us to educate a student and what the students pay in tuition. So every year during our appeal, we do a Cover the Gap campaign, and we ask everybody on campus, just in general, this isn't something we go out to specific families and ask, but we ask our whole community if you can help cover this $1,500 gap, and that helps to educate a student and get them past kind of that limit. And so that really helps with us, because I think those that had the ability to pay more are open to it because they know their students are getting a different type of experience, because they're seeing our community, which truly represents the community that represents Denver. So from a socioeconomic status, from the male, female demographics, like, we look like Denver. And because of that, I think people feel like they're getting something different when they're at that Mullen for education.
What I also like about that is I think it's giving the message that tuition's not inflated and we're not profiting, right? Like, you know, sometimes you see a new this, a new that, a new building, new equipment, you know, and in the back of a mind, it could be like, yeah, well, there's my tuition, you know, but when you're saying that there is a gap, you're not paying full tuition. They're understanding that, hey, Mullen needs help as a community. We want to educate the entire population, make it affordable for everyone, welcome everyone. We're doing it at a discounted rate. We're not profiting. We're not rolling in the dough here and paying everybody these, you know, crazy salaries, which I will come right out and say it. I think teachers all deserve a raise. There couldn't be, you know, I mean, here for all the teachers in the world, because educating our youth and helping and mentoring them and helping them become, you know, who they need to be and the best version of themselves and the extension of parents and sometimes replacement of parents. There's nothing better than a teacher. But, you know, you're actually giving a message that, hey, we're not profiting. We're not overpaid. There, in fact, is a gap. So not only is it a smart fundraising message, but it's a smart message altogether, just to remind people the value they're getting at Mullen. So
definitely. And I mean, that what you just, I mean, you touched on, you know, the value of quality teachers. And that's something that we really focus on. And one of the things that I find the most amazing when fundraising for a high school or an educational institution is the impact of a teacher has on someone 50, 10,
for sure,
can 100% impact that somebody wants to give back, because those teachers in the classroom spend so much time with those students and help form them as individuals and humans that makes such a difference for them. So when we do homecomings or we have alumni on campus and they're like, oh my God, this is so-and-so's classroom, we really love them, and they tell stories. Yeah. We highlight one of the teachers as like a Hall of Fame or, you know, just anything that we do, that always is such an impressive thing to see, because teachers truly make such a difference.
Make for a difference, those students. Yeah. It is such a rewarding profession. I've seen it in my own daughter. My daughter is a rising senior today at Boston College. She does go back to her high school and speaks and, you know, talks to the incoming. We try to stay involved in the community. But to your point, this was not a high school teacher, but my daughter's fourth grade teacher. I'm going to go and give her a shout out, Mrs. Doyle. We still exchange Christmas cards or holiday cards today. And my daughter does author children's books, and Mrs. Doyle was the inspiration behind that. And the impact that this teacher made on my daughter is everlasting. So shout out to all the teachers there.
I think we all have those teachers in our lives. That
yes. And thank goodness we do. Yeah. And thank goodness for Mullen. Well, you know, you hit on a few things that before we get to wrap up this episode, I do want to touch on. You talked about some events, and as a former event planner, my husband and I had our own event planning firm for about a decade before I joined One Cause about 13 and a half years ago. What you talked about, a golf tournament and a gala and those kinds of. So I assume that those are some of your fundraising events. And I'm sure that people that are listening are school fundraisers. They're part of the advancement and development teams. And they're probably like, wow, How'd you do it, Patrick? You know, how are you raising the money? How are you getting it done, engaging? So are some of your fundraising events the method that you're going about to engage your community, activate your donors, and get those very needed funds raised? And tell us about those events. What makes them successful? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, definitely. So we strive to really, again, make those relationships and focus on cultivation on individuals. But we know that a great way to not only steward and to keep those relationships are through the events. So our annual gala happens in the spring. The last couple of years, we've actually had the benefit of working with an alumni family who owns an event center here in Denver, and they have
convenient.
That helps with cost and it gives them advertisement. It's a wonderful space. We typically try and have like a nice, cute theme. So 2 years ago, it was a Mad Hatter theme. This last year, we did one around the Kentucky Derby. It just gives people a little bit of like fun. You know, we want the parents to have fun and kind of go out. Every time we do the gala, we also have, you know, a silent auction and a live auction. Those are always really good. But our main kind of fundraising and money bringer in at the gala is our paddle raiser. So we do a paddle raise after our auction in order that all goes to tuition assistance. And we have typically a story. Last past year, we focused on teachers, actually. And had some stories of teachers and how they've seen tuition assistance impact their classroom and impact students. And maybe a student that wouldn't have been able to attend Mullen was so successful. And so sharing that story, either through video or someone coming and having like a live speech in front of everybody has really helped. And then we do a paddle raiser and typically we raise quite a bit of money during that. And that all goes directly back to our students and tuition assistance. We also host a golf tournament in May. This is a little bit smaller. It helps to fund some of our athletic needs when it comes to students that may not be able to afford to be a part of a sports team. And that one really supports that one and gets people out there. We've sold that out the last 3 years. So that's been really exciting. And we're able to utilize a golf course here in Denver.
Sold out events. Wow. Good for you.
We have some great events that we have. And our team is all hands on deck. We don't do like an individual event planner. We all work together to make sure they're successful.
So what do you attribute to the success? I mean, is it the people? Is it the longevity of the event? Is it the community, corporate sponsors? What tools are you using to make it successful? What plays into all of this success?
Yeah. So, I mean, actually one of the great tools that we do use is for all of those events, we utilize OneCause and its various opportunities and modules that we can use. So we do everything from ticket sales to sponsorships to our auctions, all through OneCause. So that's been super helpful to have that all in one location. And then it has a lot to do with the relationship. So I know I keep saying relationships, but at Mullen, we focus everything on relationships, from fundraising to the teachers in the classrooms to the way we work with each other, with our peers. And I think that that's what it is. If we start to feel like maybe the gala is not going to sell out this year, I know that we can call some people and say, hey, like, what's going on? We'd love to have you there. And there are times when we kind of sponsor or give away tickets just to get people in the door, because we know that those people will be able to do something while they're there, or they'll be able to give something. But we do really,
it's like contribute however you can, exactly. Right? You're looking at that, the relation, it's relationship driven, community driven, first and foremost, and you'll get to the fundraising one way or the other. And sounds like you've got great people and the tools in place that are kind of like your catch-all, like, okay, we got this because we have these various tools. I want to talk about the ticketing. That's very interesting because a lot of schools choose to use their, what do you call your CRM solution for school? Is that got a name other than CRM? Is it?
No, it's still we still call it a CRM.
We
double dip. So we have our learning management system and our customer relations management system all in one. But yeah, we would call it a CRM.
So many schools would choose to ticket their events through their CRM, but I heard you say that you actually using the OneCause platform to use your ticketing. How is that working for you and why did you make that choice?
So we are a black box school. So everything that we do, our website, our learning management system, our CRM, that all comes through the BotBot suite. And OneClass actually has a really easy transition for integration between the two. When we started using OneClass, we looked at it and said, hey, I would much rather have all of our event modules in OneClass. That way, when I log in, I can look at tickets, I can look at sponsorship, I can look at I can look at all of the features in one place. And then once
centralized.
Once the gala is done, and pull all that information, because that's part of my job, is to like use our data and put everything back and make sure that our systems are communicating with each other. So I'll look at OneClass, pull the reports from there, and they integrate directly into, or almost seamlessly. I really haven't had any serious issues with that integration. So that's why we kind of went with that, because it does allow us to have everything centralized. And we know when we're talking about events, we go to this place, and it makes it so simple for us.
So how long have you been using the OneClass platform?
So this will be our fourth year.
4 years. Wow.
So we're finishing fourth year. So as we finish our tennis tournament in tomorrow, that'll be our fourth year finishing it. And we moved from, I think 2 years ago, we started using the more the fundraising platform that was released by them, which we've really enjoyed.
Well, that fundraising platform's hot. We're kind of like reinventing everything. So OneClass pioneered mobile bidding back in 2008. From there, our products and off features, you know, develop. But then we wanted a modern, flexible solution that can really grow with our fundraisers. And so we introduced that a little bit about a year and a half ago. And oh my gosh, I feel like every week there's a whole new, you know, array of features at your fingertips to make fundraising a little bit easier. And so I hope you're taking it. What is your favorite feature? If you had to say, what's the thing that you like the best? I heard about the communication with your CRM, super important, especially if you're going to segment and personalize communication and get that full picture of what your supporters are doing. But what are some of your top features?
I would say in this last year, the things that we use the most would be on your event page. You can create kind of a slideshow that runs through kind of the key things. That was great for celebrating our sponsors. It was great for showcasing event details. The other thing that I really loved about it was day of communication. So we can pre-schedule text messaging that goes out. We can pre-schedule emails, and everything's all just right there. So if somebody wants to participate in our paddle raiser, buy a live auction item, make a donation, and purchase a ticket, it's all in one place, and their card's already inserted there, so they can just see all of it at once, which has really helped me from a turn in terms of like receipting, because they have a central location that they can go to and look at their receipts. So they'll get their information from Mullen anytime, but the amount of times I've not had to go in and like pull a receipt for someone again and email them, because it's all available in OneClass and it's listed out by everything throughout the entire process. So if they register in February, our event's not till April, they can look at all of their transactions in one location, print that off. And then when they're ready to do for tax purposes or whatnot, they have that before they even get our actual like tax letter.
I'm glad you're having a good experience. That makes me feel proud. You know, I'm a OG-er, right? I've been around around when a couple of years after the company started. So I'm glad that we're servicing you well. But before I let you go, I got to ask a couple of questions.
Let's go.
Really hard questions. First, how do you feel that the OneClass software has helped everybody involved in event execution fundraise easier and focus on the more important things? And part two of the question, how does your community like it?
So in terms of making fundraising easier, I think what has been really good for us is everybody in my department has their login for themselves. So they can log in and look at the specific areas that they need to look at in terms of OneClass. But I also love the feature that when we have volunteers that are helping with check-in, they have a login. When we have people that are possibly helping with the silent auction or collecting data or putting stuff in, they have that as well. So what that alleviated for me is it doesn't make all of this stuff have to come through one or two people. it allows us to disseminate, but we also get to control what people see. So from a privacy standpoint, you don't get to see everything. So if you're putting in a silent auction item, you just get to see that portion of the module and you can kind of take care of that and you get to own that as a volunteer and or as a staff person. So that's been really good for us. It allows us to not disconnect, but to allow us to all focus on our own specific areas and everything's still in one place. And then we come together as a team, everybody understands the system. So that's been really good. I know that some of that you can do through your CRM, but like specifically you mentioned the mobile bidding, the silent auction stuff isn't available in our CRM current. And that's been one of the main reasons we started with One Cause. And then we've watched it grow to be one of our full event module, basically. And then in terms of our community, I would like to say our community loves it. What's been really great is as they've seen it over this fourth year, they know what to expect. It's consistency for us. So every year they know, oh, hey, like I know I'm going to have to log in. I know how to create my account. I know what it's going to look like. And I trust the process. So that's been really, really great for us in terms of like those that are attending our events and as well as those that are like helping plan and set up the events.
Well, it sounds like you got a whole heck of a lot of good going on there. It's a very special community. We're so glad that you took that leap of faith and headed over to the whole Denver area and found your home at Mullen. I think that you're a great asset for this community and they're lucky to have you and you're lucky to have them and you're doing great things. So congratulations. We're so proud and honored to play a little small role in the impact that you're driving, and our promise and dedication to you is we'll continue to innovate and bring you great tools and things that just make your fundraising easier so that you can focus on what's more important, this community and the relationships and educating everyone. So, you know, just congratulations. I know my team here behind the scenes, they can't say enough about you. And so we hope that this is a little inspiration because it is that time of year. We have to get out of the pool, dry ourselves off and start thinking about engaging, you know, that new school year. And it's fast and furious, right? It's like back to school and Thanksgiving, Giving Tuesday, end of year, tax benefits, holiday, holiday, holiday. Next thing you know, you're at graduation again. So I don't know how you do it, but we're glad to help. Seriously, it's just, you know, coming from, I have two children, they're both in private school. We've, you know, I've gone broke trying to get them, you know, educated, but that community means a lot. So I know what you're building there. Good for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to join you guys and everything that One Cause has done. I mean, I think we've definitely been on the forefront of some of the test runs that you guys have done and have been kind of a test school sometimes. And
oh, well, thank you for that. Because, you know, it's not always easy. It's not easy to innovate. And then, you know, and we do, we have features coming out every single week. What the product looks like on a Monday, it doesn't look the same on a Friday. But, you know, sometimes you have to exercise it and get it out in the wild and then bring it back and refine it. So we appreciate that, too, you know, and that forgiveness. But it's a good product and I don't know where we would be without it. I hope you feel the same way about it.
Yes, no, definitely. I don't know how our events would go without it at this point, but we love One Cause and everything that we've had. Success.
Oh, that's good to hear. You heard it, Fearless Fundraisers. That's a mic drop. But unfortunately, that's about all the time we have for today. We're going to wrap some show notes about Mullen and Patrick and his community together for your reference. And we hope you're inspired, especially if you're a school out there. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But in the meantime, listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. There's about 150 of them. So you have a little catch up to do if you're new with us. And you can really just get us on your favorite podcast channel because we do stream anywhere. And while you're there, please follow and subscribe. This way you can get notification about all of our new guests. I would like to thank our sponsor, One Cause, for making this episode possible. One Cause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And don't forget to visit the resource tab on the homepage. There's tons of content. It's all free. We hope you take advantage of it. A huge shout out and thanks to my very special guest, Patrick Motter from the Mullen High School over there in Denver, Colorado, just for sharing all that back to school stuff and back to school inspiration and a very authentic approach to relationships and community building that he's certainly have gotten successful. Patrick, I so enjoyed our conversations, but I do have to ask, any last words of inspiration for our audience?
I think you kind of just touched on it. I think for me as a fundraiser, the most important things are to be authentic and to build the relationships that matter and to continue to always be there for those people in your community. So that would be my suggestion, is be authentic and make sure those relationships are true and strong.
That's nice to see that you prioritize that above all else. Keep going. Congratulations. And please tell the entire Mullen community, the Mullen High School community, that we're so proud of them. And good luck to the incoming freshmen, and congratulations to the graduating seniors, class of, I guess, 2025 it is, and all the students in between. Let's hope they have a great year. Thank you again so much, Patrick.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you, and wish you all the best.
That's a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.